Hello and welcome to Weekly Beats, the podcast in which two guys give you their perspective on the week in music. My name is Charlie.
My name is Mark.
And this is the last show of the best of 2017. Mark, we did it.
Finally here.
We did a lot of podcasting. It's been a great year.
It's been a terrible year. That's a bad statement.
Great year for us, bad year for just about everything else that's going on in the world.
I still think it was a bad year, but okay.
But
you and Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Wow, great year. 2017.
Great comeback.
What a year.
What a year. We'll remember it fondly. But the time has come to count down my own personal top 15 albums of 2017. Mark just did his. You can listen to that episode if you haven't already. It's a good one. Good list.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see how mine stacks up to his. I imagine you're going to have some issues with some of these choices.
You think so?
I think so.
I thought you were going to have choices. I thought for sure you were going to sit there and rag on me endlessly about Magnetic Fields.
I mean, I didn't really care for it. It's not on my list, but I could see...
You could see it.
I could see the connection as to why it's valuable to you.
Okay. The second I see Queens of Stone Age on this thing, I'm gonna rip you apart.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if it's in here or not. Your eyes, very literally like Joshua Homme's character on the front, are covered by the devil at this point. And it's not until you flip over these cards one by one and reveal the album titles that you will become aware of what's happening here.
I'll become engulfed by Satan.
That's the goal.
Satan.
Satan could make it today. I'm Satan.
Hi, I'm Satan.
Not the same. Don't. We're not even cousins. It's like
I'm the 50th circle of hell. Yeah. This is for when you're rude in the office. Hi, I have your stapler. I'm not giving it back.
Satan. Oh, he's so annoying.
I ate the snacks that you left in the break room.
Satan.
I like pretzels. Did you see the game last night?
Oh, Satan.
This is the worst circle of hell ever.
I wish I was in the I'd rather be in a different one. Literally anyone would be preferable to this. Anyways, 15 albums. We'll talk.
Satan, why are you always sick? Well, you get everyone sick. How are you sick every day? I have a cold.
Using all the tissues.
Wait, where are the I used them. I have a cold again.
Lick his voice. 15 albums. We're going to count it down from 15 to 1. Then we'll do a little attack and defend, and then we'll Spotify the liar one more time to see how my own personal choice in songs goes with the what I actually listen to. I am fascinated to know what I'm going to listen to here because I have no idea what it's going to be.
This is like a psychological test.
So, it's scary.
Yeah, just to put it out there, you're going to be going through your choices, talking about why they're great, and in my mind the entire time, I'm going to be finding just one entry I'm going to attack because it is incorrect.
Adjusting your sights, aiming down the scope.
That's right. And you have a bone to pick about one of the items on your list that you don't think people will give enough credit to.
Yes, and I've got some in mind.
Okay.
So, starting off with number 15, and I will say again, just to reiterate, this was hard as hell to take down to 15 albums because what a year it's been. Lots of good stuff that I had to cut that I want to talk about, but these are the 15 that I think are the ones that I enjoyed the most and that I will return to the most in the future and have the greatest significance to me.
Okay. Lay it on me.
Number 15 is Antisocialites by Always.
Wow.
This album did not get enough praise. And I think Always has been a band, after two albums, they've been hovering right underneath their critical spot and they haven't quite been able to break up yet. And that first album is great. And that first album is loaded with sounds. But that first album is also very much existing in the same kind of space. A lot of those songs sound the same. It's tough to maybe figure out what makes Next of Kin different from Atop a Cake, different from Adult Diversions, right? There's a lot of similar sounds happening here. What I love about Antisocialites is that there are so many different sounds on this thing, and yet they are still able to maintain their identity and their playful nature. And man, everyone in this band sounds awesome on this album. There are so many great parts. Lots of little itty bitty songs on this thing too, like Hey, and Your Type, which I think is great.
Yeah.
I want to play a little bit of Your Type because I like it so much. It's 2 minutes. Just right there, immediately. Great track, great energy. that band so far, two albums in, has been so consistent.
How did we not make them Buddy of the Year? That's such a clear buddy choice.
That's a good buddy choice.
Like they're like every time I listen to an Always song, I'm like, I am at a house party with Always right now.
They seem so approachable, so friendly, so cool.
They're at a house party, but they're not the ones going crazy. Like they're the ones just like, oh, I don't know, I guess I'm here.
And I'll be honest, I think the fact that we didn't consider them is maybe indicative of their spot in popular music right now. Right? They're still just not quite over that line. But I think this album is underrated on the year, deserves to be talked about more because it shows they are progressing, they are trying new sounds out, and they're not just going to do the one thing they do over and over again. Yeah. But this album still shows that they can do that one thing they do really, really well.
Yeah.
Great choice for number 15.
Yeah, I would say, as I love that first Always album, I think this one might be better.
I think it is. I think it is.
Doesn't have Party People, though. Or what is that song called?
You know? Party Police.
Party Police. That is my... That's a good song.
Number 14 is Mass Seduction by St. Vincent. And I know that's going to be controversial coming from me, but I will defend Annie Clark till the day I die. I think that she is trying a lot of pop stuff on this album that is not as immediately accessible to those that like St. Vincent's previous work, that like her guitar stuff. But this is an album that is obsessed with destruction, that is obsessed with ways in which people destroy themselves, the way in which communities destroy themselves, and the way that things fall apart and they don't end up the way you want them to. Every single song has some aspect that is like focusing on a vice or a negative quality, and the fact that it can be so much fun to listen to is really interesting. She's working with Jack Antonoff, which doesn't hurt her case in my ears. I think that her shift to do more pop accessible music is making her more accessible to a lot of people, but not sacrificing her creative qualities. Maybe not as strong lyrically as in previous albums, but I think musically and sonically, it's super diverse, super interesting, and always engaging start to finish. This is another criminally underrated album from this year. I'll give you, it's not her self-titled. It's not the one before that one that everybody loved, that I love too, that I can't think of the name.
Like the
with Cruel Insurgent, and it's whatever it's called.
Strange Fruit.
Strange Mercy.
Strange Mercy.
Yeah. That, but still good St. Vincent. Love that album cover.
You love the butt.
I love
the butt. You love butts generally. That's the only reason you picked it. I'm attacking you. You like butts, and that's the only reason for this
choice. I like butts.
Put that on the record.
Just very quickly, we'll play a little bit of the butts. And you know what part I'm going to play? I'm going to play the best song on the album, Mass Seduction. Alita is weeping, the bride is beautiful. Mass Seduction.
Mass Seduction. I can't turn off what turns me on.
This song has the pop power of a Madonna track, a Lady Gaga track, of being some icon. There's the butt.
Oh wow, the butt is here in the studio.
It's got that classic pop icon imagery that I think will give it legs going into the future. Wow. Not just the literal legs that we see there,
right?
But I think this album's going to be hanging around longer than we expected it to.
Sure.
Number 14.
Well, it's no surprise it's at the bottom of your list either.
Well, yeah, it's close.
Yeah, it's really bringing up the rear.
Yeah. Number 13, Control by SZA. You had it at 14, I've got it at 13. I think we're both in agreement. It's like right there, not at the top 10 material, but lots of promise on this thing. Her voice is incredible the whole way through. And it's one of those tracks, too, the album, where every time I listen to it, there's a different track that I like. You know, and I took four from this thing whenever we reviewed it back in the middle of the year. But I could take a different four today if I listen to it again. You know, like there's always a different moment that I like quite a bit. An underrated song, I think, is It's tough for even me to see that as like a complete song because it is just like so many little moments stitched together. But every moment is so interesting and fascinating. That like I love that song. I didn't consider it for my top 50 because it doesn't feel like a complete thought. It just feels like scattered thoughts. But I'm in love with the way that those thoughts come together.
Charlie.
It's great. SZA, number 13. Number 12 is A Deeper Understanding by The War on Drugs. This is an absolute grower. I was initially not into The War on Drugs, not really understanding what made them so great. They've got the storied history, but once you spend enough time with this thing, you really feel those emotional highs. And we played that great little harmonica bit that is so loved and talked about by me this year. There's lots of other good moments here as well, like, say, Hold On. Instrumentation is just sublime, and it makes me feel good. That xylophone bit that's playing through there is mm-hmm. lovely. I couldn't fit the ing on the deeper understanding of the card, so I had to fit it down below. But that is number 12, The War on Drugs.
I'll put that back down. Okay.
Number 11 on the year is No Shape by Perfume Genius.
Well, you can't break that. You can't break that shape.
I can't break that shape. We agree. One of the best songs of the year on this thing. And lots of other great moments as well. Listening to it again, I was surprised at the diversity of the sounds on this thing. Mm-hmm. I love a track like Sides, where he brings in another vocalist to perform with him. Die For You's got that slinky, seductive, creepy kind of thing going on to it.
Right. But it's funny, because I think if this had the album art of Mass Seduction with The Butt,
yeah,
with these songs,
yeah,
it might make your album of the year.
You're right. The Butt doesn't hurt. He's got his, like, leather pants. I'm glad
you figured your situation out.
He's got side butts.
He does got side butts.
So he gets points for that.
I got a case of the side butts.
Case of the side butts. Let's do a little bit from Wreath, which I think is really good. Let's do a little bit from Wreath, which I think is really good. I see the sun go down. I see the sun come up. I see a light beyond the frame. It's theatrical in a way, you know, like the album art seems to be someone in front of like a stage, like a painted scene, like on a performance somewhere. And it's got that kind of theatricality to it, especially in a track like this one. It feels like a show number, but it's not schmaltzy in that kind of way. It's just pure emotion. It's pure energy. It's a great album front to back.
Wow.
Number 11. Number 10. Moving into the top 10 now. Top 10, baby. Slow Dive by Slow Dive. One that I think you probably slept on this year because this thing is a complete statement from front to finish. It is, I think, one of the comebacks of the year. Because it's easy to think, oh, they just made another shoegaze album.
Right.
But the fact that they came back without really doing anything else in the meantime and dropped an album that is so concise and assured and powerful and singular in its focus is super impressive. I think Sugar for the Pill is one of the most amazing compositions this year. But even tracks like Star Roving, The Falling Ashes, the haunting nature to that makes this a complete package. It's only, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 tracks long, but it is a complete statement the whole way through. Let's play a little bit from Sugar for the Pill, because it is so good.
Drugs essentially really fast shoegaze.
Yeah,
it's like shoegaze are like, hurry up, we gotta gaze the shoes way faster than we have been.
Throw some Bob Dylan vocals over top of it.
Hurry up,
get it over with,
go.
Yeah. Slow Dive, number 10. My number 9 album of 2017 is Big Fish Theory by Vince Staples, which is another album that grew on me tremendously this year. Has, of course, the best song of the year. But, I mean, don't forget about other amazing tracks like Crabs in the Bucket.
Yeah.
You got Homage. You got, Yeah Right, Party People. Rain Come Down is an amazing closer.
Yeah.
This thing is atmospheric and moody and aquatic the whole way through. By the end, it turns into this barn burner of a party where things are insane and off the wall.
One of the most fascinating aesthetics in rap this year.
It's so weird. You know, like, this. I feel like this and Tyler, the Creator, are kind of, like, doing not similar things, but they're equally strange in the way they abstract themselves. And so you got, like, the bumblebees and the flowers versus the goldfish and, like, the aquatic, like, bubbly. Right. Everything is, like, submerged partially inside of this thing. What are we feeling on this one? How about a little bit of
Party People? Yeah.
How about a little bit of Party People? Yeah. This feels like some kind of sex. How am I supposed to have a good time when death and destruction's all I see?
Yeah.
There's some good messages on this thing, man. And
that's almost as incisive as Chain to the Rhythm.
Yeah. He really did a good job. Which is why number 8 is Witness by Katy Perry. I think as someone that maybe didn't really fully appreciate Summertime 06 2 years ago,
yeah,
I think Big Fish Theory is a great album. One that I didn't identify with immediately, but as the year went on, just kept going back to it and hanging out in the sound. And I think it's super creative, super inventive. One of the best rap albums of the year.
Definitely.
Nice job, Vince. Nice job. Number 8 album of 2017 is Romaplasm by Baths.
That was one of the 5 for me.
Yeah. Underrated. This thing, and I am surprised at how much I enjoy this thing. I could not stop listening to this. The week that we reviewed it, I expected to enjoy it and put it on a couple times. But man, I actively wanted to listen to this thing over and over and over again. I love the playfulness of it, the way he incorporates string music with electronics, the way he messes with rhythms, the way he distorts himself in songs like Adam Copies, but also the way he becomes so vulnerable on tracks like Human Bog, which is deeply personal. I think No Shape does a lot of that this year, but I think Bath goes toe-to-toe with that easily, and in some places even eclipses that because of just the sheer energy that's stuffed into this thing. When you've got a track called Coitus on your album, you've got to be aiming for the fences. You've got to be aiming for something. He does a great job here.
That's what you want to call it.
You know what I love? Let's play a little bit of Human Bog. Such a good song. Lengths I go to get held on to. Positioning pearls of younger girls who call me Bog. Wondering boys or younger boys avoiding their father. I ran out of expectancy. Every time I listen to it, I find a new little bit of layers to it all. Yeah. There's so much happening inside of these things. And I love musical complexity. I love when you can tell an artist or a band has spent hours crafting this to be as intricate and interesting as possible. And I think every song on this has something that's worth exploring and getting into. It's a great album from this year. Horrifically underrated from this year.
There was a version of my list that had Romaplasm and Vince Staples and not SZA.
Yeah.
So I get it.
Yeah.
I understand where you're coming from.
Good stuff. Number 7, A Black Mile to the Surface by Manchester Orchestra. Because that is... 2017 will be remembered forever as the year in which Manchester Orchestra and Arcade Fire released an album on the exact same day, and Manchester Orchestra's was demonstratively better than Arcade Fire's. Yeah. Something that I never expected to happen. And I want to say here again, I've been a fan of this band for many, many years now, going all the way back to high school. And they've always been good, not great. I've always been like, yeah, they got some great songs. They're doing some cool stuff. They dropped Cope, I think, what, three years ago now at this point, and listened to it and just felt they're just not doing it these days, you know?
Right.
Going the way of some other high school bands that I've loved, but then they just kind of fall away. You know, they don't have the strength to keep going. This album impressed the crap out of me because it's narratively driven, because it's focusing on...
The grocery store.
Working
class
families.
As far as I'm concerned, this is an album about a grocery store.
Yeah, the grocery. Not the grocery store. Just
well,
the grocery.
Also, the grocery store, and there's a different grocery store.
There are two
the
groceries. Right. There's a grocery that's not in the song called The Grocery.
Right.
But there's multiple groceries. I love the lyrics of tracks.
Going to the grocery store.
Going to the grocery store. I love the atmosphere they cultivate on this thing. I love
the atmosphere of a grocery store.
Even you have to admit it. You enjoyed this more than you expected.
Even
you.
I enjoyed it better than Arcade Fire. I'll say that.
Yeah,
sure.
You got that right. Let's play a little bit from The Alien.
Thank you.
I think it's a complete package. I think it tells a clear narrative, start to finish, and I love that about it. I love that we get a portrait into a family that's struggling and barely getting by. And I think musically, it's great.
Okay, can I, before you, you dive into the next one,
before I, slow
I just
down,
want to be just 100% clear that you think, just so I understand, you think 2017 is the year where people will remember that Manchester Orchestra released a better album than Arcade Fire? That is what 2017 will be remembered for?
That's how I'll remember it.
Yeah, that's pretty much the
primary. And this reflects that.
Okay.
I want to emphasize that this album is better than everything now.
Right.
Demonstrably so.
Nothing else that happened this year was, you didn't notice anything else, anything that really caught your eye, or?
Was really upset we didn't get that Tool album that we've been promised.
Yeah, that's
but that's been a thing for a while.
That's what I was bringing up. I was thinking he's forgetting the one thing, but
number six,
nothing else.
10,000 Days for the 10th straight year. No. Number six is Hug of Thunder by Broken Social Scene.
Wow, that's pretty high.
Because I love that album, man. No. I love this thing. I think the first half of this is one of the best halves of an album. You know, we're talking Skyline. We're talking Protest Song. We're talking Halfway Home. We're talking Stay Happy. Mm. Vanity Pale Kids. Get into Hug of Thunder. And then you realize you've got like four tracks to go and suddenly the album is just like totally taken over you. I will say that I have not been the biggest fan of these folks in the past. I haven't gotten exposed to them. And I know people will say that their other stuff is probably better than this. But I had an amazing time with this album this year. Mm. I want to play a little bit from Stay Happy. You'll be unhappy.
Really
I love
good.
That.
That's really good.
Ball. That deep, low brass comes in, and there's another great moment on this track where they had that doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Yeah. It's just pure power and energy.
It's great.
The kind of thing that you could only get from a 20-piece or whatever it is group of people performing here.
Yeah.
I initially, when we talked about this, was a bit like, you know, it's a bit too long. Mm-hmm. The back half's a bit too quiet, and I don't know that the track listing is in the best order it could be. I think a lot of the big stuff is heavy on the front half. But listening to it again, stuff like Hug of Thunder, stuff like Please Take Me With You, comes across as really endearing and sweet and moving.
Yeah, I agree.
And even, you know, a track like Gonna Get Better, things are gonna get better because they can't get worse. It's another little shred of hope in this year that we need.
Hope because that Arcade Fire album was not as good as the Manchester Orchestra one.
We just need to remember that the Arcade Fire album was not that good.
Yeah.
All right, top five, baby. Here we go. Number five is A Crow Looked at Me by Mount Eerie. I listened to this album once, Mark. And it's my top five.
And that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Because it profoundly affected me in a way that I didn't expect. I put out listening to this thing all year because I didn't want to, because I knew it was going to be emotional and heavy. And it didn't hit me right away. It wasn't until about track four that I started tearing up a little bit. But from that point on, constant tears streaming down my face for a half an hour throughout the rest of the album, because it is so honest and vulnerable and universal.
Yeah.
And we talked about how real death, you know, he says, I don't want to learn anything from this. I love you. Just like, what a statement.
Yeah.
I left with feeling, you know, it's not about how terrible death can be, but about how wonderful it must have been to have had such a connection with another human being, to feel that this love that you have for someone else is so strong and so pure that now you are just unable to make it day to day because of that. What
this
an amazing relationship that must have been.
Another like memoir of the year kind of thing for me.
Yeah. Like I want to experience that kind of love. I want to feel that for somebody else. And it made me consider those people that I love and call them and tell them that I do love them because, you know.
You didn't call me.
Number four. I think we're just about in agreement on this one. Number four is Run the Jewels 3 by Run the Jewels. It's a trilogy that concludes fantastically.
You didn't play any tracks from A Crow
Looked
at Me.
No, I just realized that. So let me play a little bit from A Crow Looked at Me. How about just Real Death, because we should play that, the opening.
Death is real. someone's there and then they're not. And it's not for singing about, it's not for making into art. When real death enters the house, all poetry is dumb. When I walk in.
It's barely songs, you know, it's so right. stripped away musically that they're barely creations of music. It's more spoken word poetry, but I love that.
Don't you kind of love that slow, like, trot, but, like, that yeah. like, clap of a, almost sounds like a horse.
Yeah.
There's actually some kind of interesting moments of,
yeah.
like, weird percussion in the album. There's yeah. very little percussion at all, but when it's yeah. there, it's always something unconventional. And I wonder why that is. I wonder why he decided yeah. to do that.
The daughter asked me, does mom swim? And I said, yes, I'm pretty sure that's all she does now.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I'm very thoughtful. Wow.
Run the Jewels 3 is my number 4 album of the year. Run the Jewels, certainly one of the greatest pop rap duos, not pop, just rap. Most rap. Pratt duos.
One of my favorite Chris Pratt duos
they
of the year.
They are just full of energy and necessity in this modern era. And you know what?
Live from the garden.
LP has always made great beats, but there are a number of great beats on this thing. LP has always been a smart lyricist, and these are some of his best lyrics. Killer Mike has always been exuberant and life-affirming.
Yeah.
And he is amazing here, and they feel as vital and important as ever. Let's not pass on the great guest verse by Danny Brown on Hey Kids. Mm. Let's, you know what?
Hey, Jack!
Hey, Jack! Hey, kids!
We're architect when I architect, fortunate.
Oh man, you know what? You know what I'm hyped for? Some more Danny Brown.
Yeah.
A little more Danny Brown.
What's that guy been up to?
I was listening to his like original stuff, and yeah. you can hear, it's like he sounds pretty normal,
right.
but you can hear somewhere in the background there's like a hyena
yeah.
in his throat, just like waiting. He's like, I'm normal, just, but like...
It's waiting.
Yeah, it's just waiting. It's
wasn't until Atrocity Exhibition.
Ain't I have it?
Ain't it? You know his best album of the year? He announced it. Last year,
his
favorite album.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, it was David Bowie.
Blackstar last year.
What's this year?
Do you know?
No.
A Crow Looked
at Me. Wow.
Yeah.
He does do an interesting crossover, I guess, with
yeah.
the rock music.
He's got
not in that he uses rock music explicitly,
yeah.
but that he does weird stuff with rap music.
Yeah. I want a whole track of just him laughing. I think it'd be a good thing.
Charlie's Scariest Moment of the Year,
laughing,
2018
laughing,
contender.
Laughing, laughing. Run the Jewels 3. Great stuff from those boys. Number 3, dead on with this one, Mark. American Dream by LCD Sound
there
System.
There we go.
Definitively the third best album of the year.
Right, now we can set it in stone.
For all the same reasons that you mentioned, I can't believe how much fun I had with that this year. And I use the term fun loosely because it's not really like fun, but it's like thoughtful, engaging
yeah.
music. Those three songs, plus 4, plus 5, plus the whole album, it's all great. Let's just get a little bit of... Amazing opening to an amazing album.
It's great.
Love it.
Great.
Coming down the top 2.
Okay, I know there's an album on this list that is yet to make an appearance.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy. I'm wondering which of these slots it is. I sure am.
You know,
Charlie?
There are 2 albums, if you think about it, that have yet to make an appearance on this list.
There's one in particular that's on my mind.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well... I'll let you know. I'm going to reveal these last 2 at the exact same time.
Why?
Because in my mind, these 2 albums have been neck and neck for the entire year. And at different points,
I know what they both are, and that's crazy.
At different points, they have been pulling ahead one over the other. Stretch a little nose, and then I go back and listen to one in a different way, and suddenly it changes some things up, and then I put the other one back on again, and I'm second guessing my choices here.
Mm-hmm.
So, This is tough. And if you've been reading a lot of publications out there, you know that on a lot of these lists, it's been these two kind of jockeying for one and two slots. It's been kind of back and forth on a number of publications out there. Who's coming away with the big title here? Who's got it?
For me to guess?
Yeah, who's got it?
I'm thinking that you're going to get such a rush out of putting Melodrama at your number one. I think you get like this like sick rush of like, you know it's not right, but like, oh, it's right. It feels good.
Let me tell you why Melodrama by Lorde is the best album of 2017. And Damn is the second best album of 2017. It almost didn't happen this way, Mark. It almost didn't happen this way because Damn is played in reverse. It's possible to play it in reverse, which has now come to light. We can play the track listing backwards. And there's a whole new story there. And we were expecting a double album.
Mm-hmm.
And we never got that, and so initial was like, oh, it's disappointing. But we got bamboozled, Mark, because the double album was there all along. We didn't realize it. Is it wickedness or weakness? You decide. Are we going to live or die? And depending on the way you play the album, he either lives or dies.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing.
That's amazing.
That sounds like a number one album of the year to me.
And so good. And it's full of bangers. It's full of insightful critiques. But Lorde.
Oh, Lorde.
This is the year of our Lorde, 2017. And that's Lorde.
You just wanted to say that again.
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
Because she has crafted a perfect pop album. Because from start to finish, this thing is perfection. Every lyric, every musical decision, every vocal performance gets me emotional, gets me teary-eyed, gets me engaged in a space that I think is important and necessary and vital to pop music going forward. I think everyone should be taking lessons from this person right here because she knows where we should be headed. And we've got to follow her. We've got to follow the light of the Lorde. But not to be, before we get there, let's play a little bit from Damn. Let's talk about Damn. Again, you know, you want to put Damn on number one? Okay. I'm not taking an issue with that. Especially when you got stuff like this in there.
Die for the shit, nigga. I take your fucking life for the shit, nigga. We ain't going back to broke, family selling dope. That's why you many ass rap niggas better know. If I gotta slap a pussy ass nigga, I'ma make it look sexy. If I gotta go hard on a bitch, I'ma make it look sexy. I pull up, hop out, air out, made it look sexy. They won't take me out my element. Nah, take me out
my element. So, and maybe this is wrong, but from my interpretation of listening to this thing front to back, we've got, like, from the way the tracks are originally, you start off with the heavy, the violent stuff at the very beginning, and slowly we're taken over by the more truthful stuff. You're working your way toward God by the very end, and it ends with the story about Duckworth and surviving and living. So you may say that's potentially weakness because he's not responding. If you look back on Triple X, there's that whole part about, you know, if somebody killed my son, that means somebody getting killed. Like, he's got to respond to those violent actions inside of him to carry out what's righteous. You know? If you play it in reverse, going from Duckworth back to Blood, we're existing in a space where we are pure, but we're giving in to those things. We're not remaining humble. We're not focusing on the love.
Right.
And we're building an intensity and anger and violence at the inequalities, at the humanity in general, I think. And so that ends with his death. And so the question becomes, like, is the course of trying to attack and destroy those vices yourself, is that wickedness or weakness, or which way is which?
Right.
Is it about salvation in the long run or just personal perseverance today? Are you focused on the spiritual enlightenment and looking past this life, or are you trying to stay grounded in what's happening right now and focus just on this life? It's really, really smart. It's really heavy the whole way through.
The more compelling your argument is for Damn, the higher my expectations become for Melodrama. Because DNA is, in my mind, clearly better. Like, it doesn't even, I don't think it's even, like, a close race. Yeah. Like, I'm surprised that, I even knowing you loved it, I am blown away that it is so that it managed to get to this top spot. And I'm wondering if this isn't some, like, you're getting, like, your kicks here a little bit. Tell me, explain to me why Melodrama is stronger than everything you just said.
Because it's a perfect pop album. Because everything, the sequencing, the lyrics, every one of these songs has something worthwhile to talk about.
So Raider in the Dark is really cheesy.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's great.
It's
Let's play it. Let's talk about Raider in the Dark.
Okay.
Break the news, you're walking out to be a good man for someone else. Sorry, I was never good like you. Stood on my chest and kept me down. Hated hearing my name on the lips of a crowd. Did my best to exist just for you. Bet you rue the day you kissed a rider in.
That's that line.
Bet you rue the day
you kissed a rider in the dark.
That's... Because guess what, Mark? She's not barely an adult.
This is why it is.
You love
She's
this
20.
Stuff.
That's why this is happening. But this is a 20-year-old girl. So it's number one in your mind. You're like, I do like Kendrick Lamar a lot. But the reason this is good.
It comes across as cheesy because it's coming from a place of youth and innocence and pure passion. It is a pure good in this world.
It's a pure good in this world? Good. Melodrama is a pure good.
It's pure
this
good.
Is not an attack and defense segment. I will shut my mouth.
She can't help but make everything into melodrama because that's what the album is all about. It's about heightening the meaninglessness of high school interactions, of college interactions, of blowing every single party, every single get-together up to this epic of insane proportions, of increasing maximalism up to 100%, of throwing in heavy bass and danceable rhythms. There's that great lyric on Homemade Dynamite where she talks about there being a car crash, and we blast through the windshield and we end up on the ground with all the blood everywhere painting the road and the broken glass sparkling, and so we're at a party now. Mm-hmm. Now we're at everything is a party to these people, and everything is the most intense moment of feeling because I don't know anything else in this life. And I think
Vince Staples deconstructed that.
With Party People?
Yes.
Okay. This is the part, that's one song. This is Party People, the album.
Yeah.
You get to the end with Perfect Places and the search for perfect places. And mm-hmm. finally they decide, what are perfect places anyway? They don't exist. Right? We can't find that. It's the kind of album that could only be created from a person that's lived in this space. And we all know what this space is. We've lived it. We've experienced it. And it's a kind of space that cannot sustain itself. It doesn't exist for long. But when it does, it is the single most important space to you and everyone else around you. And then suddenly, at some point along the way, it disappears and it's gone. And you can't believe it's all gone, but you can't go back to it. You can't recreate those. You can try to recreate those, but it's not the same thing.
Right.
Lord is inside of this moment. And rather than just craft an album about pop songs, or an album of pop songs that are embracing that kind of lifestyle without any critique, she is simultaneously developing this spot that is like all, the worshiping of the party, the idealization of the party, but also the she's destroying it. She's opposing it and saying it's useless and meaningless. And lyrically, she's so good on this thing. That lyric about the Louvre is so smart.
That's all it is. It's this lyric.
It's the lyric about the green light. It's the lyric about the supercut. In my head, I see a supercut of us. Because when you think back on relationships and those, you know, those relationships with friends in high school, with romantic interests in uh-huh. high school, are so pure in their passion and their intensities that you can't help but romanticize and play up every single aspect that's ever happened. And this is what that album is. It's a total over the top, turn it up to 11 of the teenage experience. And for being pop music, I think it's incredibly intelligent. I think it's incredibly necessary. One of the best albums of the year. No, we'll say it demonstrably, the greatest album of 2017.
Whatably?
Demonstrably.
Okay. It's demonstrable?
Yeah.
Well, Charlie.
Did you know that they did a remix of Homemade Dynamite and SZA's on that?
That's okay.
A couple rebel top gun pop. Odyssey, yeah.
Open.
Production.
One of the best bridges in music this year.
Golden Gate.
What's the thing that came out of the woodwork?
I never said anything I like more than that.
Once again, the Golden Gate Bridge, one of the best bridges of 2017. Just cannot live without it.
I love that bridge.
There we have it. My top 15.
Top 15. It's interesting. Now looking at your list.
Yeah.
It's almost as if... So, Always has tracks, well, maybe less so in this album, but in the last album, The Party Police, right, was a, oh, I don't feel good at this party. It's a very casual, anti-party kind of song, right? Mass Seduction kind of does that too. We're all just, like, giving in to these bass instincts.
Yeah.
I think...
This is the party playlist right here?
Yeah. It's all party about People is in Big Fish. I think that is a social... It's they get more powerful as you go on. That is a social...
Message.
Yeah, it's a powerful song. And then you get to Run Those Little Three, Live from the Garden, and that's sort of like celebrity culture takedown, which I think fits.
Yeah.
And then Tonight by American Dream, which is literally almost as if it's written for melodrama. I understand melodrama acknowledges that stuff.
Right.
But it's like if there's an increase and then just a dip in that narrative for me.
Yeah.
Not in terms of quality, but in terms of like, we're partying while the world is burning.
Yeah.
And then it's like, let's be clear, you're being sold this by companies and celebrities. They're selling you shoes. Remember that part of the song?
Yeah.
It's a good part. And then something's just a little less punchy.
Yeah. I guess it's the musicality that overwhelms me.
It's amazing that there's so many songs that have that beat in them in your list. Isn't that interesting?
Maybe because this is the
you hate parties.
Well, the party is over. The American party is over.
Oh no.
Maybe that's the theme of the year.
Well, one of the American parties is over politically. I know that.
We'll see about that. Yeah.
Oh man. Oh, and Dan does that too, obviously.
Yeah, right.
That's just so interesting.
So I guess I gotta defend one of these things, huh?
You're going to, for sure. It's definitely what's gonna happen to you.
I feel like I've done a little bit of that already for each of these. I haven't seen Roma Plasm on any list this year, and that's a damn shame.
Yeah.
Because that thing is so good.
Yes.
And I don't know if people got mad that it wasn't more deeply depressing stuff like Obsidian.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's about, like, whimsical, fantastical ideas. Maybe people will identify with that. But, like, musically, it is constantly engaging, constantly interesting. And open and honest and vulnerable in a way that I think very few albums are this year.
Mm-hmm.
As much praise as Perfume Genius is getting, and I'm not just comparing the two of them because they're both gay. That's not why but I think they're like maybe coming from a similar spot. I think this is getting a lot of praise, rightly so. But this is, I think, operating in a similar space.
Yeah, I guess I could see it. I see, when I think of Baths, I can't help but think of the Postal Service.
Yeah.
Like that same sort of like very gentle like bleeps and bloops. Like I feel like No Shape has a more earthy kind of like there's that crazy string section. It's a lot of his huge vocals.
Yeah.
I think that's
more theatrical.
Yeah. A little more condensed and like skittering around.
And maybe I like the intimacy of Bath's album more than the overwhelmingness of Perfume Genius. But I think it's just insane that we're not seeing any love for this album this year.
Totally.
I would encourage everyone to go back and listen to stuff like Abscond, like Extra Solar, Yeoman, which you brought up on your best of lists. Mm-hmm. Really, so many of these tracks are worthwhile and worth talking about.
Human Bog. It's great.
Yeah. It's a really human track. And maybe you'll be put off by the airships and the super space trips that were going on in some of these songs. But Human Bog is a deeply personal song that really has no connections to any other fantastical idea.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, being who you truly are and not having to bow to anyone else's expectations of you or what you become.
Totally.
I defend that.
Yeah.
I defend it.
I'm totally on board. I mean, that narrowly missed my list. It was on my list for the longest time.
Yeah.
And then I realized Thundercats got me on there. I haven't done this list right at all. Sophie Kennedy Can't Be. This is getting confusing. But I totally am on board with that. That album was way better than I got any credit for. I got totally overlooked. It's a good choice to defend.
Just very quickly, I'll mention a couple of the ones that got cut from this list. J-Lynn, Black Origami. I wanted her on this list so bad. That album is
I can awesome. Feel that, yeah.
And I just, listening to it and listening to like these three here, like I just couldn't make that list. Like I gave her her credit in Chop Tracks of the Year because she's super inventive. But I also think after a time, like she is kind of just taking a different thing and doing it each time. There's not like a cohesive statement that's being made by that. It sounds amazing and super experimental, but I don't really have a strong feeling of what that album is saying. Another one, J-Som, Everybody Works. Listened to that a whole lot, but I found that even though I had a great initial interest in that thing, I really didn't go back to it this year in a way that stuck with me. What else?
Me too. I had like a week of just listening to it over and over. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, great. Yeah, right. Not in a bad way. I was like, great, I'm done. This is good.
Yeah. Some others. Oh, a huge one I want to make my list. Morning Teleportation. Salivating for Symbiosis.
I was waiting for it.
Listened to that thing constantly this year, but re-listening to it this past week, I had to acknowledge it's just not there. I love those guys. I want to give them all the attention that they deserve because I think they still killed it creatively, but just quality wise, it's not hanging with this stuff.
Same with Sophia Kennedy. But that's the stuff we had the same.
Yep.
We went through a very similar process with our list, I feel like, right until the end there.
Miguel, if I had a couple more months with Miguel, that album might make an effort for it. I still don't think it would be there, but it's really good. Pineapple Skies is amazing. And I'll tell you what. I way over listened to the XX's I See You this year, but that thing is not bad. I think if I didn't listen to it constantly through January, I would appreciate it more. But stuff like On Hold, stuff like Violent Noise, Dangerous, some really good stuff from the XX that I think deserves some credit. I think everybody else overplayed it this year too, because no one's really talking about it. And it is kind of sleepy and, you know, doing that XX sound, but that was in consideration for like 20 or so.
I not quite for me.
Yeah.
Did you listen to the Jamie XX remix of On Hold?
No.
They put it on Spotify.
It's better.
It's worse.
Oh, it is?
It's definitely worse.
Interesting.
I like Jamie XX a lot, but I feel like as much as everyone's talking about, there was this amazing write-up of it on that Pitchfork list where they describe what that album did was if the XX has been like your two, like Jamie XX is the guy in the background, like he wants to go out or whatever, but the two lead singers and I guess the guitarists.
Yeah.
They're like too cool. Like they're always in the back of the party, like not dancing with everybody, just kind of talking. And like this album is Jamie XX finally like, we're going to go dance. And they're finally out there dancing and letting loose. Yeah. I think that is a gorgeous description.
Yeah.
I like the description almost better than the album.
Yeah.
Like it made me like the album better.
You like the idea of the album better than the album itself.
Yeah. Those singles are amazing. I just wish it would, I wish it kept up that level of energy.
Yeah.
That could have been a contender.
Tracks like Performance, I think, are pretty weak.
Yeah.
But yeah.
There are just too many clear valleys for me.
Yeah. Cool. All right. I kneel at your feet. See, I thought I was going to get you with one of these up here, but now I feel it's a little bit lower.
It's not. I think Melodrama belongs on your list.
Of course it does.
I think it belongs in the top three.
Yeah.
But like, what I'm hearing from you is not number one. You just keep saying it's perfect. Like, that's your defense.
For most of the year, Dan was ahead of it.
The what changed? You got caught up in this tidal wave of emotion.
I kept listening to it. I could not stop listening to it the whole year. I listened to that album more than any other album this year. And when we do Spotify The Liar, I bet five Melodrama songs are in my top.
But you listened to Hug of Thunder more than Acrylic to Me.
Okay, fair. But I had a stronger emotional reaction to this piece. This equally strong emotional and listening. To the point where, like, sometimes I'll be listening to Melodrama and a lyric will come on, and I'll get emotional, and I can't believe that someone wrote that. And I think I'm so proud of Lorde for writing this kind of thing.
You're proud of Lorde?
I'm proud of her. She did an amazing job. I feel this.
Why are you proud of her?
I don't know, but I just feel like she's doing it. She's a young mind in the world. I get so concerned for the youth of this nation. I want to see them succeed and consider this world and not just be your little yachties, you know, not knowing what a cello or a clarinet is. And here's someone that is writerly, that's insightful, that's maybe not perfect in the way she's figuring out this world, but she's trying it. And she's being brave, getting up there in that spotlight and doing this stuff. This is her second album.
Mm-hmm.
She's really making strides. Plus, she's touring with Run the Jewels and Mitski.
Okay.
Tell me that's not one of your ideal concert tickets right there.
Yeah, two of those three things.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I don't see all of her. I think like the way we view the world, our inherent perception, I think, plays too much of a part for this conversation to fully take place, because you clearly are seeing her as like a social good. in the way that I am such a cynical person, and
pop
I
music,
think
pop music, pop
I
music,
see,
pop music, pop music.
No, no, it's not yeah. pop because I didn't feel that way about St. Vincent's album.
Yeah,
14 of these albums that we're talking about this like sort of party narrative and social commentary. I think we're all smarter. I think they're all more inventive. But I think they had less money on the whole.
Mm-hmm.
I think what Tonight does is a better, it just straight up is smarter and newer and better than what Lorde does whenever she's talking about, I'm at the party, because she still ultimately indulges in the things she says is bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like corporations so good, and they make me mad all the time. Yeah. And I'm wondering if that's not how I'm trying to pull myself out of that mindset.
Yeah.
Can I cheat
yeah.
and just forget Lorde?
Yeah.
Because I think there's a more constructive conversation, because I want to, a deeper understanding didn't do it for me.
Yeah.
And I force fed it, and it just wasn't going. And it took me a while to figure out what I didn't like about it.
Yeah. You wanted to talk about this. We haven't talked about it yet.
I want to talk to you about this.
Good time to talk
about
it.
So I'm cheating by doing it.
And it's my number 12 album of the year.
I think it's just fine.
Yeah.
And I can see why someone thinks it's really good. Like, yeah. That's not crazy, but like, I don't have an understanding of a deeper understanding. I have a very shallow understanding. When I listen to it, all I can hear is like, man, I hate the percussion. That's what I realized it was, mm-hmm. is that I listen to the drums in any of those tracks. Mm-hmm. They are the most basic beats, and they're produced like so tinny and quiet and in the background. Like, there is no like depth to them at all, and it just removes the energy of the songs. And I want to get in there and indulge in like the like FM radio, like him throwing his voice like in the echo and like the harmonica stuff. Like, I want to be able to like it, and I find like the energy just doesn't, it's just low energy. It's low energy war on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Convince me, like, help me understand what I'm not seeing.
Let's start with Up All Night. I'll just play a little bit from this one.
That's the opener, right?
Right.
In a way, I don't believe in the real thing.
That sentence is great.
I once got started, then it all went black. Your love's got me like it always has.
So it's a long album, I think, first and foremost. It could be tough to sit in that space for too long. But I think I also kind of had to force feed it initially, because my first reaction was, it's fine, but I'm not really jiving with it. But the more I listened to it, the more I became enveloped by the buildup instrumentally. This is a band that exists for me. Like, the lyrics of the group are not super essential. Mm-hmm. It's more about the vocal performance, like just the way he is emoting and using the sounds of his words to add to the texture of the piece. And the way the different instruments complement each other and build throughout the piece.
Mm.
It's a band for me that I am totally in love with the instrumentation.
Mm-hmm.
So let me give you another example. It's, let's talk about Pain.
The doorway waiting to be born. But I'm here all alone, just begging. Pull me close and let me hold you in. Give me the deeper understanding of who I am. Yeah, I'm holding back again. I'm waiting, yeah. I'm just pulling on one, but I just won't break.
I think it's hard to sit inside of this space because so much of this appreciation for this music means existing inside of the whole 5+ minute track. Like, it's about the build of what's come before and how they're changing on that sound and building to an emotional point. When they hit you with a guitar riff, or they hit you with a little extra feature, that just is like, ooh. When that harmonica kicks in, it's those little moments that come up throughout the album that just keep me in that zone.
Do you hear what I mean by the drums, though?
They're a little, like maybe
that's
stiff.
The same. It's just dum, tss,
yeah.
Dum, tss. Like, put that on again.
Yeah.
Been turning up a dime, but I hear no sound. I resist what I cannot change. All in your world. Yeah.
But for me, it's not a matter of the percussion. I'm interested in the keyboard stuff that's going on there.
Yeah,
ding,
totally.
Ding, 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 and like the layering of all of that with the guitars and the vocals and the percussion kind of tends to slide to the background. Because if you look at older, say, like, 70s rock that they're pulling from, when the percussionist was just there to keep the time for them. It wasn't like necessarily a feature of the group. You know, I'm thinking like your Ringo Starrs from the Beatles. You know, like the Ringo's drumming is not interesting or complex. He's just usually, there to hit the time, right?
He's got like a couple, you're right. A couple moments where I would say, oh, that was interesting, but not that much.
So like the dad rock is in full force on this thing. I feel that. And I listen to this with your uncle or your dad, like they'll be like, this is the music. This is the true musicianship here. This is what modern music has been lacking, is someone that is unironically embracing the sounds of the past, but transforming them in a way that is still engaging and interesting. I think it's super compelling, the fact that these groups have found such success in this modern era, despite not really changing the formula to what makes it great.
Yeah, that's a really good fence. I think one of my sort of like hanging points with them has been, because I like that album.
Yeah.
Like I didn't listen to it and thought, oh, I'm so done with this.
Right.
I listened to it and I thought, this is not affecting. Why it's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think part of the thing is these songs are sometimes like 8-9 minutes.
Sure.
And
Thinking of a Place, I think, is
it's not 11. It's not. There's like two things I want to make sure that I have clear. It's not just that. I think they're making a choice with their percussion.
Sure.
Like, I don't think someone just was bad at it in the way that Ringo was kind of bad at it. Like, I think they're saying, I want this pared down. You barely listen to the percussion. I just don't know why. Because while all of the instruments are changing, you're saying, wow, like what's happening new on the keyboard? He's building to a crescendo in his voice. The drums from the verses and the choruses often are just still dum-ts. Like they don't even switch up literally what he's playing. Mm-hmm. He's like there to keep time, like you said. Yeah, yeah. And I guess it's partially a production thing for me too.
Yeah.
Like it just feels so far back in the mix, and everything feels like it has an effect layered over. The guitars, the bass, and the vocals all are so dramatically affected. And weirdly, the drums are just kind of like, just a little muddy, but just kind of there. Like, it just feels, I'm having trouble swallowing that pill.
Let's see if I can find a little lesson, but I'll see. This is a good moment. I like off the track Strangest Thing. It's a bit like this. The beauty and the pain. It's another slow track. Gonna hang on the space. We're about 2.5 minutes in at this point. Mostly been here. It's the strangest thing. And that release at 3 minutes is so emotional. It's so powerful. Yeah. It's just about being in that space, existing in the musicality, and feeling those crescendos that throw in through a piano riff, through a guitar riff, through a harmonica feature, through a xylophone. There's so many layers to the pure musicianship inside of this thing, and I really respect that.
Something transcendental about it.
And it is. It's detached from this modern era. It feels timeless in a way that I think some other stuff this year maybe doesn't.
I guess I'll have to keep trying because I'm not there yet. Yeah.
I don't necessarily hold it against you for not getting into it, because I don't think it necessarily is, you know, it's not inventive. It's not doing anything really new, but it's good if you like it.
Okay. Great. Well, I think it's funny because I feel like we almost covered bases. Like, I'm so glad you have Bats on your list, because I hated taking it for mine. I'm so glad you have Vince Staples, because I hated taking it off mine. Like, I feel like we have covered
between things. The two of us.
Yeah, and Mount Airy especially.
Right. So, what do we have in common? We had Damn, American Dream, and Run the Jewels, and No Shape, and Control. Yeah?
That's it.
So, 5 in common between our lists. Right. But I think, based on your list and based on my list, I think we're seeing a number of the albums that have been discussed at large this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really representative of our own personal tastes and the great year in music that has been 2017.
Well, I would love to do our last thing. Yeah. I would love so much to test your theory that if I look at your Spotify tracks, it's all going to be Lord. It's going to be Lordy, Lordy, Lordy.
There's going to be a lot of Lord in there. A lot of Lord.
Now, what is the ones that got away? What is this feature? What does this mean? Did you see that?
No.
Oh, here's a collection of songs you'll wish you'd listened to this year.
Ooh.
One of them's J-Boy.
What?
Yeah, what is that? I don't know, maybe they're
out. Did they not see my list? I bet that's in my top 30.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. It starts at the top. Like, your most listened is number 1, right?
Right. You too can order your collective set of Charlie's top 15 albums, playing cards.
This is going to be fascinating.
With images.
30 songs. Here are the 30 most listened songs for Charlie in 2017. All right. Number 30, In Undertow by Always.
Good choice.
I said that makes sense. Yeah. Number 29, Can I Sit Next to You by Spoon.
Yep.
It fits.
I love Spoon.
Sure.
I love Spoon.
28, Ran by Future Islands.
Mm, yeah.
27, No One Knows Me Like the Piano by Sampha.
Good song.
Number 26, Everything Now by Arcade Fire.
Yep.
Number 25, Feet Don't Fail Me by Queens of the Stone Age.
Good song.
24, Love by Lana Del Rey.
Wow.
23, Back by Vince Staples.
That low?
Yeah.
Dang.
22, Enter Entirely by Cloud Nothings.
Oh, that's a good song.
21, Dangerous by the XX, which it was
It's January.
So what am
Those I horns, I got to the point where, like, hearing that,
is this annoying?
And I'm like, oh, I hate it. I hate it. I can't listen to that song anymore.
Me too. The exact same way.
I get that intro every time. Like,
oh, here this comes again.
Yeah.
Number 20, Total Entertainment Forever by Father John Misty. Number 19, Cherry Hearts by The Shins.
Good song.
Number 18, Element by Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
Number 17, Blood on Me by Sampha.
Good song.
Number 16, Modern Act by Cloud Nothings.
Wow.
Number 15, Hey Kids by Run the Jewels.
Yep.
Number 14, Saturn's Bars by Gorillaz.
Wow, that's high.
Number 13, The System Only Dreams in Darkness by The National. Number 12, Salivating for Symbiosis by Morning Teleportation. Number 11, Want You Back by Haim.
Wow.
Let me make sure I got this right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, I got it. Okay, number 10, Panther Like a Panther by Run the Jewels.
Great song.
Number 9, J-Boy by Phoenix. Why would that be in your...
I'm pretty sure it was my number 9 song of the year, too.
So strange.
Nailed it.
Number 8, DNA, Kendrick Lamar.
Okay.
Number 7, Slip Away by Perfume Genius.
Okay, that's my number 2. My top 10's all been on here so far, right? Uh-huh. Everything now has been lower, but...
Number 6, Evil Has Landed by Queens of the Stone Age.
Wow.
Number 5, Talk to Me.
Yeah.
This is all pretty close.
Yeah.
Number 4, Green Light.
That was my number 3 song of the year.
Number 3, Hot Thoughts.
Wow, I love Hot Thoughts.
It's a kind of surprise.
Wow.
Number 2, Name for You
by
The Shins.
Yeah.
And number 1, Humble.
Yeah.
Almost as if.
Humble.
You literally are wrong. You listen to Kendrick Lamar more. And you have a better argument for it at number 1. There's one Lorde song in your top 30. It's Greenlight.
Wow.
Was that your number one Lorde song in your list?
Yeah.
Well, I feel like someone has been Spotified.
Look.
What?
I think there's also a small part of me that doesn't want to give it to Kendrick this year.
Yeah.
Because,
I think so, too.
And I love Damn. I think it's so... And that moment... Like, a month ago, when I listened to it backwards, I was like, that's it. He just made the case for this being Album of the Year right there. He just did it. He just did it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I thought back to, like, man, we sung his praises in 2015 with The Butterfly.
Uh-huh.
And Good Kid, Mad City is almost possibly, surely, the best album of 2012.
Yeah.
Given him 3 best albums, 1, 2, 3, just down the line. I don't want to be seen as that kind of guy.
Look at, see, though? That's bias. You're getting your kicks. You looked at Melodrama. I can't be Kendrick all the time. I need to find a substitute.
I need to get my kicks somewhere else.
Oh,
and there's a part of that. But I also think that Lorde has rightfully earned her spot at the top of this list.
You just made an argument why she didn't.
Because it's really close. I don't want to just continually praise Kendrick everything he does.
Then maybe he should start releasing albums that aren't the Album of the Year for you.
Yeah. That's a good album.
Keep in mind,
yeah.
In the 60s, there were people who felt that way about the Beatles.
Right.
And then that stuff wouldn't have been elevated. But sometimes the best
artist... the Beatles is just the Beatles.
Yes.
Kendrick is the Beatles.
Sometimes a Kendrick Lamar is just a Kendrick Lamar. Sometimes Cigar is the best album of the year.
Yeah.
I said that.
It's a close race, either way. What a year it's been. What a long, strange trip around.
I've learned a thing.
I think you and I both have great lists. Different ways, but equally great lists.
Okay. Well, I like your list a lot right until there's one point where I start to your list.
If I made Melodrama number 2, would you be more okay with it?
Are you selling your list to me? Now even more. The whole thing's bankrupt. put Phoenix
line
on top of your list.
Keep
Tiama there at this point.
Line your cash in my pocket. Let's get this fixed up for the future.
Put in my pocket my ass. I won't put in my pocket.
Thank you, Mark, for a great year.
Damn.
What are you most looking forward to?
Damn! What am I most looking forward to?
Yeah.
I think it'll be a lot of fun to not be able to view websites at the same speed that I could now, because who owns them?
Yeah. As for me, I'm really crossing my fingers we get that tool album, I promise, in about 6 years. But we'll see.
What if that thing came out and it was terrible? Garbage. Well, what if it came out and was amazing? Like, what if it was, like, beyond anything?
Worth. It's been worth it.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
You play this backwards, it's a new album. Damn. You play the first track, the last track, then the second to last track, it's a new album.
Wow. Thank you for being a part of this year with us. We couldn't have done it without you. It's been a great year for music. And now it's time to put it to rest.
Damn.
We'll see you in January 2018. Stay gold. And play that Osher music. But I hear sounds in my mind.